Our first Bible reading is Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. That's page 979 in the Church Bibles. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds could come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowds in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophets. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This is the word of God, the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. The second reading is from the book of Revelations. It's chapter 7, it's verses 9 to 14. That can be found on your service sheet or in the church Bibles of page 1238. So that's Revelation 7, verses 9 to 14. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and round the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Let me pray for God's help for us. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you that you are our wonderful Heavenly Father who is so good to us. And thank you that a big part of that goodness is that you speak to us through your word, which is good and true. As we come to these words today, please might you help us to have ears to hear, hearts that obey, and lives that live out your truth to your honor and glory. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, June the 21st has taken on a bit of a connotation in society now, hasn't it? The next day was our wedding anniversary, so thankfully it wasn't that day. But June the 21st has kind of gone down as a bit of a bad day now, hasn't it? So sorry if that's your wedding anniversary. Because it now stands for a day of unfulfilled promises, more heartache, more frustration, as once again we were knocked back on the opening up process. Once again, we've had to change plans. Maybe that's operated at a family level. Certainly, it's impacted things at a church level. We'd hope that the prayer meeting might be in person this Thursday, but sadly, we're going to stick on Zoom for now. But actually, if we take a step back, it shouldn't really surprise us. We know that phrase, don't we? All the best laid plans. And the end of that kind of sentiment is, are subject to change. There are no guarantees in this life. Sometimes Christians even use the little phrase, God willing, which comes from the book of James, that actually we can't know what tomorrow holds. We can make our plans, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, but we do know that at any point things might have to change. Whether that is plans for ourselves and our own lives, I'm sure we've readjusted many, many times through our lives. Whether that's for our family. Certainly, as a church family, the responsibility of leading the church family with others at these present times has sometimes felt like making new plans every week or certainly every month. I know it's the same in school as well from the contact that we have there. Lynn and I, as chair and deputy vice chair of governors, often just run through the changing plans. They've gone back down, haven't they, from year group bubbles to class bubbles, again, as many schools have with various bubbles bursting recently. And certainly we've seen it in our government as well. And that is life as we know it from a human perspective, isn't it? But thankfully, when it comes to God, it is different. He has a plan. He always has had. Since before the creation of the world, he has had one plan, and he is working it out. No changes, no stalling, no U-turns, no unfulfilled promises, all in his perfect timing. Just the words that came after the two parables that we had read this morning in verses 34 and 35. Once again, Matthew gives us a little kind of editorial comment, doesn't he, about what Jesus is doing as he teaches us in parables. We had it certainly 2 weeks ago with the parable of the sower. Right, but here he points to yet another layer. So was fulfilled, verse 35, what was spoken through the prophet. And then a quotation from one of the Psalms, Psalm 78, verse 2. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So those come from a psalm. The psalm's written 700, 800, maybe 1,000 years before Jesus. And there the psalmist in Psalm 78 it is reflecting on the history of God's people thus far. It takes them particularly from Moses, the great leader of God's people who brought them out of slavery in Egypt, through to great King David. That's the kind of time frame of that psalm. And the psalmist, as he encourages God's people to sing about their history, he wants them to learn what God has been showing them over the years. Actually, it's how they've often not really listened to him and disobeyed him, and all those things which are the mark of the Old Testament, aren't they? But it shows that despite that, God's plan has still been working out. Even the disobedience and rebellion of his own people couldn't stop God's plan working out. So unstoppable is it. And this is how the Bible works. This is how the scriptures work. God is progressively revealing himself to us through his word, through history. The Bible is a story from the creation of the world through history about God's dealing with humanity, with us. And we're a part of that story. And the full and final revelation, at the time when things hidden since the creation of the world became most clear to us, they've been progressively revealed through the Old Testament, is what Psalm 78 is saying. But the moment that they became crystal clear for us, as it were, the complete cover was lifted off like a conjurer doing his trick and going, ta-da, was in the Lord Jesus. He is God's full and final revelation of himself. He is the living word, as we say, don't we? God's word, not written on a page, but written in flesh and blood, so that we might best understand what God is saying to us. Now, that is why Jesus came, to show us who God is, what he is like, to reveal God to us. And so as he speaks in these parables, that is a part of what he is doing. And so once again, we come back to the little phrase that the parable of the sower ended with, that we ended with last week in verse 43 as well. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And what is Jesus wanting to particularly focus our attention on today? Well, I think it's about getting our expectations right. If you were here last week, we were looking at the parable of the weeds and the wheat, the weeds in the field, and we were thinking about how all through history there will be the constant presence of evil. There will be God's kingdom growing and God's people, the church there, but there will always be evil alongside that in this world. That is the nature of this world. It was kind of a warning in that sense. It was a reality check. Wanting to open our eyes to that sobering reality. Well, today maybe is the counter side of that, and is full of a huge encouragement for us as God's people, and also a bit of a challenge in line with that encouragement, and that's what we're going to see in our 2 points that you can see on the sermon outline there. And so our first point, be confident God's kingdom will grow and grow. Be confident God's kingdom will grow and grow. Well, as Dan read the parables there for us nice and clearly, they were pretty short, weren't they? Sometimes Jesus' stories are long, sometimes they're very, very short indeed. One verse, the other two verses. Short and sweet, but what do they have in common as we think about the mustard seed and the yeast, or in the old language, the leaven? Maybe some remember it as that. Well, what do both of these parables, what principle are they teaching us? Well, it's quite straightforward, isn't it? You start off with something small. The mustard seed in Jesus' day, it's used in other contexts in the Bible, faith as small as a mustard seed. The mustard seed was kind of like the proverbially small seed to them. A bit like elsewhere, Jesus talks about the eye of a needle, which was just the smallest hole that was common in their days. The mustard seed was just the smallest of the seeds. It's a tiny, tiny seed. And the yeast as well. Tiny amount. Remember in those bread-making kits that we've used sometimes in our bread maker in the old days. Now you just kind of throw the whole thing in and put some water in and it does it all. But in the old days you had to measure a little bit, didn't you? And tiny little foil packet of yeast that you were given to put into it. Tiny amount. And yet a very large end result, isn't it? That tiny seed turning into the biggest of the plants of its like. More like a tree than a plant, able to have birds come and be in its branches. The yeast. The new version of the New International Version gives us the sort of modern metric equivalent, doesn't it? Tiny amount of yeast or leaven working through 30 kilograms of flour. You get flour in those kilogram bags, don't you? You know, that's kind of like a whole stack at Morrison's, isn't it? 30 bags of flour, this tiny thing having that big effect from small to large. And Jesus wants us to understand this about his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. That it will go from maybe what superficially looks small, being very, very large indeed. It will grow and grow and grow. Because picture what's going on. Picture what's going on as Jesus is teaching the crowds there. There he is, Jesus standing at the front. Maybe there's quite a large crowd, but actually his disciples, those who are really following him, are only a small number at the front of that crowd, a small band of disciples. Doesn't look very impressive, and I'm sure at the end of the day people just sort of wandered off. And there was just, you know, a few sort of bits and bobs left on the ground, as there always is after a crowd. It could have almost been like it never happened. Not very impressive. Particularly when you consider that this is just taking place in Judea, which was kind of a backwater of the Roman Empire, that was so ill thought of that to be sent there to be governor, like Pontius Pilate, was thought to be a punishment rather than any kind of promotion. Pretty unimpressive, isn't it? Pretty small looking, a man standing there without even a PA to amplify his voice. And then you fast forward a couple of years through Jesus' life, don't you? And there he is in complete isolation, hanging on a cross. Utter shame and scorn. People walking by, mocking him, laughing at him, abusing him. Even certainly one of those crucified alongside him, mocking him. His disciples, that small band, all fled. A few devoted women, including his mother, just standing at a distance. How small, how weak, how pathetic. And yet like a tiny seed planted in the ground, or a tiny sprinkle of yeast in that flour. Jesus dies, he's planted in the ground, as it were, and then raised gloriously from the dead, the beginning of that new shoot. And in him is growth. In him is the kingdom, because he is the king. And it will grow and grow and grow. And so Jesus is talking about what is going on in this present age. It happened to an extent in the Old Testament, but Jesus is now focusing about the here and now, this present age that he talked about last week, between the time when he was raised from the dead and when he will return in his Father's glory and with the holy angels. When he comes to end this world as we know it and usher in a new creation. Between now and then, the kingdom of heaven, his kingdom, will grow and grow and grow. So that the final realization will be that which we heard about in Revelation chapter 7. It's a very different picture there, isn't it? It's not a man standing at the front of a bit of a crowd with a few disciples and, you know, a crowd. I mean, I don't know how many there were, tens, hundreds, maybe a couple of thousand in that crowd, who knows? No. Here and now, we're talking about a huge multitude. So huge it can't be counted. Because actually one day, God's kingdom will grow so much that it will be then everyone and everything. Because the mustard seed becomes a tree. And remember those birds in the branches? In the Bible, that's a picture of God not just being worried about his nation, the mustard seed and the tree you could see as being God's promise to the Jews, the Israelites, but no, the birds, which represent the nations of the world, able to come and be a part of that. The Bible uses different metaphors all the way through for this kind of principle. But in the Old Testament, it looked like God was chiefly concerned just with one nation. But no, that was never his plan. All along, he's been concerned for all peoples. You get hints at it in the Old Testament, but come to the New Testament and there's room for everyone to come in. And so Revelation 7, every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, which is great news for us here this morning, isn't it? Because I'm presuming none or very few of us are Jewish by any kind of ancestry. We're right there in the parable. We're one of the birds able to come and be in the kingdom tree, part of the kingdom. So if you have come to Lord Jesus as your king, if you are a part of his kingdom, then this is your future, is what Jesus is saying. You are part of something that is growing and growing and growing. And we look through history, don't we? And that is what has happened with the church. Yes, it's sort of been up and down and at times look bigger and smaller, but what is it now? 2 billion people around the world would in some way profess the name of Christ. Well, I'll have to say who of them are actually in the kingdom, but that's an awful lot of people, even if it's only a percentage of them. Because Jesus wins. We're on the winning side. And that is the expectation that Jesus wants us to have. He is the king. His plan is unstoppable. Nothing is going to change that. And we can have confidence in that. Because actually that story of smallness to largeness is echoed all the way through history. Yes, at times maybe the church has looked strong and powerful. Maybe we feel that was true in this country a while back. But increasingly, that was not the case. Increasingly, as God's people in this nation and many others around the world, we do feel small, weak, overlooked, unimpressive, insignificant. The Christian viewpoint no longer really asked for. In fact, in our nation, so often maligned and derided one way or another. Maybe we feel like we're a bit of a mustard seed or part of something that is just like that little bit of yeast. But Jesus keeps saying, know what your future is. Be confident that God's kingdom will grow and grow and grow, because appearances can be deceptive. But I think it is a challenge of the present. I mean, all of life has been so impacted over the last 15, 16 months, whatever it is now. But it does feel church life has been impacted in very particular ways. I mean, it's lovely once again to have so many gathered here this morning. And I'm sure others following us either live or later online. But at many times, church life has felt a bit like it's been church life with the handbrake on. If I'm honest, that's my feeling as the vicar. I don't know what it's been like for you. You know, the fact that we're just about able to gather for a few minutes, sort of, you know, to chat on the vicarage drive after the service for those who want to do that. But sort of still not really quite at the stage at logistically being able to just even manage a brew afterwards. You know, please do come along to the picnic next week. You know, it's just another chance to gather together, isn't it? But, you know, these things have to be primed and prepared for now. They were kind of commonplace. For those who are new to our church family, every all-age service was always followed by bring and share lunch in the church hall. That's a dim and distant memory now for many of us. And it was an every month event, a great chance just to be together. But God's kingdom just to grow away in that little way amongst us as we were able to chat and spend time and encourage one another in those ways. But actually, even in this present time, as things feel particularly yeast-like or mustard seed-like, we want to cling on to this expectancy, this confidence that God is still at work. And what does that look like? I think that looks like prayer. I think that is the chief and primary application for us. As you look back through church history, every single big revival was preceded by a small gathering or a number of people praying. I'm not saying revival's coming, but I'm just saying that is a wonderful principle to turn to. That is the small, weak thing to do, isn't it? I mean, what is weaker than an individual or a family or even a church family, you know, as we will this Thursday on Zoom, gathering together in that kind of way? It looks so weak, doesn't it? You know, church prayer meeting on Zoom can be completely kiboshed by your internet falling out. But actually, as we pray, we are connecting with the final reality. We're connecting with that final vision that Revelation 7 spoke of. Because we're coming before the Lord of the universe, the one who truly is in control, whose plan is working itself out, who nothing can stop and change. And we are committing ourselves to Him. We're bringing our plans before Him, our heart's desires, our concerns, our needs before Him together. I think prayer is a wonderful way to show our confidence that God's kingdom is growing, even when appearances don't look like that. Second, and more briefly, be involved as God's kingdom spreads. It very much flows on from what I've just been saying. These two parables are very similar, aren't they? The mustard seed and the yeast, but they're not quite identical. And I just wanted to pick up on the particular focus of the yeast working its way through the flour or dough. Becca was making some dough for her junior church group this morning. They're all going to make some nice dough shapes to take home and bake. So if you have a child in adventurers, you've got that to look forward to. It's right there, instructions in there for how long to bake it and that kind of thing. So hopefully you'll be able to produce something. Hopefully it'll taste nice as well. But with dough, you need to leave it, don't you? Preferably in a warm place. I remember my mum used to leave it in the linen cupboard when we were growing up, just to ferment away, to allow the yeast to do its work. Sometimes I'd go and open the door and sort of look at it, and you don't really see anything, do you, as that's happening? Not visibly, anyway. I guess if you maybe had a time-lapse camera on it, you might see something, I don't know. It happens unseen, quietly, little by little, but steadily, until that tiny amount can go through 30 bags of flour or whatever it is, spreading, 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 growing, growing, growing. Unspectacular on the way, and yet the end results. It is a nice, tasty, risen loaf of bread, which in my view is pretty spectacular. So how is God working today? How is God's kingdom spreading, growing and growing? Well, we talked about prayer already, but the primary means that God has devised it to be, in his wisdom, is through us, his people. Those who follow Jesus as their king, those who are part of the kingdom now, through us. Through us and God's wonderful plan for his church, where he takes us and he places us into all sorts of areas of society. As I look out this morning, come tomorrow or during this week, we're going to go into all sorts of different places, aren't we? Our workplaces, our homes, hanging out with friends maybe, heading out for a drink or something like that, picking up children at school and bumping into people there and having a little bit of a chat. Our neighbours on the streets, going out for a walk with the dog and stopping and chatting to someone. Who knows where we'll get this week? And that is part of God's spreading, isn't it? We're able to spread Jesus' kingdom because we take Jesus with us wherever we go. If he is in our hearts, then wherever we go, he's going. And we can share him. We can be like that yeast working away, maybe very quietly at times, in very small and sort of subtle-looking ways. Yes, as I've said, at times in church history, that's been through big revivals and people standing in front of crowds, Billy Graham or George Whitfield, these famous Christian preachers from the past who have had, you know, untold effect on crowds of thousands. But actually, that's not the normal means by which God's kingdom grows through history. The much more normal means is just in ones and twos, here and there. Conversations between family members, between friends, between workmates, between those that we bump into one way or another. That's certainly been how God has worked over these last 10 years here in St. Andrews. And that's how we're all able to be yeast-like. To spread the gospel, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to take him wherever we go during the week, praying for and looking for those opportunities to share Jesus with those around us, asking others to pray for us as we go into particular situations where we'd love to share things. Being there. And surely, at this present time, there are particular opportunities in that. I'm sure many people are facing hard things and have questions and don't seem to be finding many answers. Now, I'm not saying it's easy for us just to go up and give them all the answers. God does have all the answers, but it's not always that straightforward. But what we can do is we can listen. We can listen to their pain, to their heartache, to what they've been through. And we can show that we've listened. We can care, we can comfort, we can have that compassion. And where God gives it to us, yes, we can share the wisdom. I expect most people just want to be listened to. And in listening, we do a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because actually, we begin to take that problem a little bit from them. We begin to carry that burden a little ourselves. And then we ask them about it a little bit later. And maybe more opportunities come to be able to share something of the hope that we have. That, yeah, we have problems too. We face difficult things too. But we have a confidence. That confidence that we are part of something that is growing and growing. That Jesus wins. We know there is a plan that will never change. And we can share something of that with them too. Maybe invite them along to something that we're doing out here as a church family as well, to meet others. We're able to share the same message with them. Often that's often the way it works. You know, someone speaks to a Christian and hears something they've never heard before, and wondering about it, and they meet someone else, and they hear exactly the same thing, and just God begins to work through that to show it's not some strange view, but actually it is being led into the arms of the King of the universe. So will we be involved as God's kingdom spreads? It is going to spread. It is going to grow. The question is, how and will we be involved in that as individuals, as a church family? And I know it's challenging at the moment. Just like church life, for us to gather together is challenging. It's challenging to be reaching out with Jesus. But there really still are opportunities. I remember right at the beginning, many people spoke about all the opportunities that there were as people were confronted with issues of life and death and things like that. And then, as with all these things, it just began to sort of tail off a little bit. And sort of the mind-numbing sameness of it all began to set in, and people become sort of a little bit hardened to it, maybe. But I think, again, the longer it goes on, maybe different opportunities arise for us to show that even in that, we cling to the one who is goodness. And so we can share that with them too. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in control, that you have established, Lord Jesus, as the King, that there is a kingdom of heaven, that it is growing and growing, that it is spreading even now in these present times. Please grow us in that confidence. Grow us in that prayerful dependence that shows that confidence. And please grow us in being involved in spreading the kingdom too. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.